I like to think of set for television and film as like a military boot camp for creative kids. So you show up, breakfast is there, you're on a production lot, that is your home for the day. For the next 12 hours, you are making television. So it's your home away from home. Everything you need is there.
Hello, let's start. I'm so excited to have you on, Jasmine, today because we're going to speak about a topic that is not spoken about enough, costume design. So first, do you mind introducing yourself? And then we'll get started.
So I'm Jasmine Motley Maddox. My official title is Image and Style Strategist, which is just a blend of my backgrounds, right? So my background in public relations and then now in costume design. I've never considered myself a costume designer, but I really work closely with them, being a costume supervisor and a costume buyer. Costume design, in a nutshell, is visual storytelling through clothes and wardrobe, of course, for television, film, short film, music videos, anything that you can think of that you can visually tell stories through wardrobe clothes. That is what costume design is.
What would be the big difference between costume design and stylist?
So costume designers are working from a script. Versus a stylist who's working for, you know, an event or a live performance or, you know, a public appearance or maybe a like a press tour. So, the costume designer is working from an actual script. They're building characters based off of what that script said.
Okay. That's important, I think, because I think people don't realize what goes on behind the scenes of a costume designer. But before we dive into, you know, the details of what costume designs entails, do you want to tell us a bit how you got started in the industry?
Yeah. So I was a publicist for about a decade, 10 years. And then I just reached a glass ceiling that I wasn't excited about breaking through. So I quit my job, took a year off, and over the course of like that few months of like getting back in the swing of like wanting to look for work, I couldn't find anything like in PR. So a friend of a friend suggested that I apply for a supervisor of studio services job at Bloomingdale's here in Atlanta. And I didn't know what studio services was, but she explained to me that it was the place where costume designers, wardrobe stylists, and anybody who would like wardrobe for like celebrity clients would come and shop with me. Like that would be my clientele. And I was like, yeah, like set them up. Let's play. Like this sounds, I don't know what this is, but it sounds really cool. And so after like a year of working at studio services and learning like their buying process and kind of how they, you know, purchase multiples, I asked a costume designer if I could assist her on a music video shoot and or on any project is what I asked her. And she allowed me to come and work as her assistant on a 4-day shoot for K. Michelle. And it was a music video shoot. She was making some appearances on a press tour. It was the cover for her album. So it was like a really dope, cool thing. I love R&B music. So it was super cool. And from there, I never looked back. I just kind of jumped in. Like my next project was Office Christmas Party with Jennifer Aniston. And I've just been in it since. I'd never look back. But yeah, I've always had this philosophy, like, if you don't ask, you don't get. And that is really like what I lived by, like, and what I still live by. I asked, and so I got it.
That's a good philosophy, I guess. But tell us, like, when you started as an assistant, what did you do, like, on the set?
I got breakfast.
I served coffee.
yeah, which was really interesting for me because I was like 27, 28. Like I was, you know, older. And so I got breakfast. I got coffee. If there were morning pickups, like I would do that. But mostly returns, organizing the things that were coming back out of the fittings that were no's and organizing those to be taken back out into the world and either return to a costume shop or return to a retail store. And that's hard because retail workers hate to see you coming and you kind of have to finesse and it's a whole thing. But the greatest thing about being at that level is you see it from all aspects. Like, and everybody talks to you because you're just the lowly assistant. And so, you know, they want to offer you advice and they want to impart wisdom. And so I learned a lot from just everybody, from the costume designer on down, being that in that position.
That's really interesting, because usually people would be like, oh, I was the assistant and serving coffee was just like a nightmare. But this is actually a positive outlook.
I had to have a positive outlook because I really, and even in like interning for like PR, like I never got anybody's breakfast. So it was a humbling experience for me. And I really did have to have a positive spin on it because I did not want
to get it. How do you then jump up from an assistant to actually being part of the costume design process?
It really is just kind of your comfort level and those around you, their ability to see like what skills you've gained along the way. So from, I did maybe a couple of jobs as wardrobe assistant, maybe three or four jobs as wardrobe assistant. And then at that time, like I talked to my supervisor and I told her like, hey, I'm ready to move up. I joined the union, the costuming union. And from there, like I was officially a costumer. So I knew that At any rate, like I could go get a costuming job. Like I didn't have to be the designer or the supervisor or the buyer. I could just go be a costumer. So I worked my way from background costumer to on-set costumer for principals to key costumer, and just kind of worked my way up. But it takes a while. It takes you working on different jobs, falling on your face sometimes. Because every job is different. So you want to feel comfortable, personally, but you also want like the people around you to feel comfortable enough to like move you up.
So take us behind the scenes of like a day in the costume designer, you know, schedule. So, what happens? Let's take a real example, like of a TV show you've done. What's the steps to designing a costume? I think there's a misconception between costume designing and costume designer as like sourcing as well the costumes, right? Can you take us through the process after, I don't know, you receive a script, or, and you can take the example of a show you've worked on.
Yeah. So I'll just take BMF. Again, I was the buyer on that show, but again, working closely with the designer and with the assistant designer and being a part of that design team. When the script comes out, both the supervisor and the ACD, pretty much everybody is doing their own breakdown, but the supervisor is doing the official breakdown of the script. The designer is, from that, learning how many changes a character has, what the character is doing in each change, how many characters are going to be seen together in that scene. With that in mind, the designer is also keeping, you know, time and place, background setting, you know, where is this taking place? What month is it? What season is it? They're taking all of this in. They're researching, depending on the project, right? So for BMF, it was straight like 1988, 1989, short window of time, but loads of fashion opportunities. So we had 3 months of prep time. So once we got the script, we had 3 months to kind of get all of the big things. So if we needed anything made, built by a tailor, that was the time to do that. If we had to shop for things that maybe would have come from overseas, would have taken a little bit more time to get through customs, that was done during that time. And it just as much as we could, like if we had 8 episodes, we probably had 5 scripts. So we were trying to shop as far ahead as possible. So we're just shopping closets for these people based on their sizes. And then fittings start. So we're fitting each character. That's a day in and day out process. At the same time, there are production meetings that are going on. And in these production meetings, lighting is saying, well, I need this. And sound is saying, well, I need this. And wardrobe is saying, well, have you thought about or considered the fact that this is going to happen with the wardrobe? Location is asking for different things. So it's just a melting pot of just departments and ideas. So there's this simultaneous kind of thing of building characters around a script, but also managing like the inner workings of an office pretty much, because mm-hmm. there are departments and there are like key players. It's a humongous job that I don't think people really take time to consider, like how much goes into just creating. And even after the fitting is done, let's say you have three looks for a character for a scene, they're sending that to the director. And the director then has to say, yes, I like number one for this scene. So there's always a decision that's, you know, kind of above, a step above them. And so it is, it's an interesting kind of inner workings.
I've heard that you guys do like insane hours. Can you like walk us through what a typical day would be like?
Yeah, at minimum, it's a 12-hour day. There will be some shows where you'll have a 10-hour day. I would just say count on like a 14-hour day. I like to think of set for television and film as like a military boot camp for creative kids.
Wow.
So you show up, breakfast is there, like, you know, you're on a production lot and that is your home for the day. For the next 12 hours, you are making television. So it's your home away from home. Everything you need is there. You going 10-1, going to the restroom, it's there, you know? And that's why the people working on sets become family, because it's just such a tight-knit situation. But it literally is. It's very long hours. It always helps to enjoy the people that you work with, because you're literally there with them more than you are your family at home.
Yeah, I love that quote, the military boot camp for creative.
Yeah.
This is a really good way to put it. I have a question, because I know, Jasmine, that you also have an amazing podcast where you interview costume designers. And back on what you were saying on how like every part of TV show or a movie kind of influence each other in the design process. I know that you have interviewed Heidi Bivens, the costume designer of Euphoria. And I was wondering, how much involvement does the actors or the TV show personalities have on their costumes? Because I did hear that in Euphoria, Alexa Demi, for instance, participated in sourcing some of the pieces for her character. So yeah, I was curious about that.
Yeah, I think that it just depends on the show. Yes, you are absolutely right. Heidi did confirm that, if I remember correctly, that Zendaya has some input on the sweatshirt that she was wearing, and kind of like when and when not, when she didn't wear the sweatshirt. So yeah, I definitely think like from project to project, it varies. I've had, you know, it could range. Like, they may have a friend who like has a suit tailoring business, and they may want to promote that. And so they'll say, hey, I have this friend, and it's not a forceful thing, but it's just a suggestion of a vendor that you may want to work with. And also with the actors, it could be anything, you know, it could be that they have a specific brand of undergarment that they like. And so that's what we work with. Or, you know, for them, they may see the character in green because it may help them, you know, any way that a costume designer can help the actor do their job. I think it's a give and take process, you know? So if it makes the actor and helps the actor pull off the part, I think it's a go, like, you know, in terms of compromise.
Okay. So you do kind of work hand in hand with the performer, whether it's an actor or a personality.
I definitely think so. Yeah, for sure.
Did you build any like relationships, or who was your best sort of experience to work with in your career?
That's interesting. You know what? I really enjoy Regina Hall. Regina is super funny, but in real life, but also like just super genuine. I have this crazy story that I'm going to share. I've never shared this. So Regina Hall, we were supposed to go. She would always ask me on set. She would say like, hey, where'd you get this piece and this piece? And that summer, I was shopping like super cost heavy. So everything came from cost. And so I was like, cost every day. And so she was like, I want to go to this place before I leave Atlanta. And so the more, so I scheduled some time to shop like before the store opened one Sunday. And I was on my way to meet her there. On my way to meet her there, I get a call from her and she's like, you won't believe this. She was like, but I can't find my car. Like, I'm not saying that they stole my car, but I can't find my car. And I'm like, okay, well, don't panic. And we go through the steps of like trying to find a car. She's like, done it. Like call security, done it. Oh, and so I was like, okay. And I was like, well, she was like, I still want to go to COS. And I was like, okay, well, I'm coming to get you. I'm so Southern. Like that's just, it's a hospitality thing. So I was like, I'm coming to get you. So I go by her place. I scoop her. She's literally riding in like my car, in my Mini Cooper, like next to me. We go, we shop at COS. Like, she's the most down-to-earth woman. And it was just such a bizarre experience that led to like just her being in my car and us like listening to music. And so then we rode to like the rap party together. Like it was just a relationship that built off of that. And it was just, she's amazing. Like she was really like one of my favorite experiences for sure.
That's such an awesome story. What music were you listening to in the car? Were you getting like pumped?
You know what it was? It was Sunday. It was a Sunday. So I think I was listening to Kanye Sunday Service Choir. Like the, the Jesus is King album. I think so. I think it was definitely the Sunday Service album.
So you've just told me about a great experience. Do you have any negative experience of working this job?
This was actually back when I was a wardrobe assistant. It was actually like I was trying to be a wardrobe assistant. So I was actually shadowing someone on a show for the day. And I'm not going to name the person or, the artist, but it's an artist that I would have expected, like they sing about such positive things and, go girl, go type of music. And so, when I spoke, it was just like, you know how you speak to somebody and they like act like, who are you? And it's kind of like dead face. And you're like, oh God, like, oh, you've spoken. It was just really weird energy. And then like later when she found out who I was and that I was helping with wardrobe, she kind of like switched the tone because she needed something. So it was really, it was whack. And to this day, like I remember it. I've never worked with her again, but it was just whack.
Yeah, it's funny how people that like in the public face seem like they're advocates of positivity and in the background, they're like really like not nice people. I feel like it's the same on social media, everyone that's advocating for like ethics and good causes, they're the one who bully you in your comment for the smallest thing.
It's the weirdest thing. It's so weird. It's like everybody's pretending to be mad about something and everybody's pretending to want to police something and it's just like relax.
I wonder as well, when you're like dealing with celebrity, especially with a job like yours where you kind of have to like help them get dressed, it's quite an intimate process. Like how do you approach it? Because when you're meeting them,
that's a good question, Rami, and I'm gonna answer it. You know what's so weird is that hair and makeup tend to have the better relationships. I won't say the best, but the better relationships with the celebrities, because think about what you do. Like when you go and get your hair colored or like whatever, like when you go get your hair done, you're sitting there and it's like, you're talking, to one of the homies. And then when you do your makeup, it's kind of the same thing. But when you're undressing in front of somebody that you really don't know, you kind of know them from the fitting. It really is. It's an awkward space. And so I've seen costumers do great things to make it comfortable, whether it's playing music or leaving the room while they're getting dressed and then coming back in once they're dressed. I've seen, different ways of them making it work. But then some celebrities don't care. They're like, girl, stay here. Let's get dressed, whatever. It just depends. But it is a very intimate space. And sometimes it can very well be awkward. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. You meet the person for the first time and you're like, now get naked. I have to put clothes
on. Drop your clothes.
Well, that's interesting. So do you guys like actually work closely with hair and makeup? Because I guess, like, if you're building the look, you kind of have to, like, consult each other. Or is there a stylist in the middle that kind of, like, connects the dots?
So there's an assistant designer. And okay. When I was an assistant designer, what I would do is after the fittings, like, you know, per scene, I would go and put kind of a lookbook together. So here are the characters that are in this scene, and here are the look that was approved for each character. From that, mm-hmm. hair and makeup can, if there's nothing specifically written in the script to say, like, oh, person has their hair in a ponytail and ponytail gets pulled, mm-hmm. or something like that. But yeah, then hair and makeup will go from that and say, oh, she's wearing red. Let's make her bolder and do a red lip, or let's mm-hmm. subdue her based on the character. So yeah, there's a lot of collaboration there for sure to complete the look.
That's interesting. I know that you've worked on Rhythm and Flow, which is a show. I don't know. I feel like it didn't get the recognition that it deserved because I love the show. I was like, this is so great. There was a French version as well called Nouvelle École, which copied the American version with like French rappers and stuff. And yeah. I love the show. How did you work for on the show?
So T.I. Was my client, and... Okay. Yeah, it was really cool working with him. I actually got to just shop from his closet because he is such a fashionable guy. Yeah, he has just a lot of clothes in his closet. People send him clothes like that. You know, he's that guy. We got to do really like suited up looks for him. I also got to work with Big Boy and Killer Mike when they were here in Atlanta shooting. Yeah, it was a good time.
That's so awesome. Wait, so like you went to T.I.'s closet? Like, you went to his home and
No, I did not personally go to his home, okay. But there's a process of like pulling pieces, mm-hmm. and then those pieces land with me, and then I edit that down to say, okay, these are the pieces that we're taking to the shoot. And it really just starts with what, for him, like what he wanted to wear. So if there were things in his closet that, like, say he had been wanting to put together or that he had in mind for this thing, he would say, okay, pack it up. So his assistant would then pack it up, and then I would take it and then say, okay, well, these are the things that work for, like, again, this scene, or when we shoot here, when we shoot in LA, when we shoot in Chicago. And yeah, it was an interesting process, but it was very efficient and very organized. And I liked working with T.I.
Do you need to have like sewing skill or like know how to actually make clothes to do this job? Or can you just like be creative and kind of be good at styling as well? Like, what's the most important skill?
I think the ability to problem solve, honestly, is the best mm-hmm. skill that you can have as a costume designer. But aside from that, I would say, yes, the better that you are at making things, the more resourceful you are, it helps with the problem solving. And so, yes, I do think the more you know how to sew, the more how you know about garment construction and even sometimes illustration, those are like the creme de la creme of costume designers.
So does it actually happen that a costume is literally issued from a costume designer that has like designed from beginning to finish a piece? Like, that has happened?
Yes. Okay. So I would consider Black Panther, especially the first one where Ruth Carter was really playing around with like 3D printing. Those garments, like literally she had illustrated, and from illustration to conception, like, and having it put on the actor, like that was made by her.
Wow. That's next level. Because I must say Black Panther for costume was insane. Like, that was one of the movie that struck me, especially even in the second one. My favorite one is the first one because there's also Michael B. Jordan, and I'm like in love with him. Yeah. Don't tell that to my fiance.
That's the one she won an Oscar for, so yeah.
Oh, she did. Okay. Yeah. It's great to know that costume designers can win Oscars, because I think there's not enough credits to the creatives that work behind the scenes.
No, and that's literally what my podcast is set up for, is to give credit to the costume designer and the fashion stylist, who oftentimes they just see the celebrity, not knowing, you know, there is so much that goes into helping that actor play into their role. Yeah. And there's so much that goes into choosing a dress for red carpet. And these are creatives too. And so, yeah, the sole reason for my podcast. And I am too happy that they can win Oscars, but I think that they deserve so much more. And there's still a lot that they're fighting for sure.
Yeah, 100%. So talking about your podcast, you know, that's such an interesting mission that you have. And I feel like it's also a very interesting niche that you're in and highlighting the costume designer's work. Can you tell us just a glimpse of the type of interview you've done or the type of guests you've had on the show?
Yeah. So I usually gear the show towards a costume designer who's currently working on something. It didn't start that way. It started with a costume designer who was it was the 30th anniversary of a historic show, A Different World. And I interviewed Ceci because I couldn't at the time, like there were like pop-up shops and all kinds of things in honor of the characters that she had built 30 years ago. And nobody talked to her, not Vogue, not Elle, no, not Fashionista, no one. And so I was like, I'm going to interview her. And so that's how the platform was built. But these days I'm talking to people who are building like current characters. So I had Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, the remake, the costume designer for that. You mentioned Heidi from Euphoria. But we've Carrie Kramer, who just did Lizzo's Watch Out for the Big Girls with Jason Rembert. I mean, it runs the gamut. I am always happy to talk to them because they have such interesting lives. Like there was Natasha Newman who went to helicopter school and like because she couldn't find a job in costumes. And it just so happened that her instructor from helicopter school was the AD on an upcoming movie. And so she got to be the costume assistant from that. Everybody has these just interesting stories and these amazing paths to how they began to create. And it's been a pleasure to highlight them because I definitely think that they should be highlighted more.
Yeah, that's so crazy. Helicopter school. And then all of a sudden you're projected into the movie industry. That's so crazy. Wait, I had a question earlier that I guess I forgot to ask, but what's the difference between working on a costume design set of a TV show and a movie?
Okay. A TV show is going to run a little bit longer. So you can get a television show that runs from like 4 months to up to like 10 months. So you're working on that show for the better portion of a year. And it's the same way. So you're breaking down per episode. So you're either shooting one episode at a time or you're shooting four episodes at a time in a block schedule. Film is a little bit different in that it's a quick startup and then you're done. So I think the longest movie that I've worked on was 2 months. I know that there are some that like Wakanda Forever, probably, you know, they worked on it for maybe a year. You know what I mean? They're usually like quick to start and then they're back down. So that the flow of work and kind of the long, like the, I guess, the consecutive nature of the work in terms of like how long you work is the difference.
How do you source pieces? Because I guess a lot of it, it's like, you know, you're working on a show that's set in the 80s. You have to source pieces from the 80s. What's that process?
Yeah, linking with a bunch of vintage resellers and really, like when I say building relationships, really being able to call them on the phone and say, hey, I'm looking for something specific. Can you help me find it? Like, I know you can help me find it. So I had a lot of help with like Yuri's Market. Yuri was super helpful when I needed like Louis Vuitton luggage. I was like, hey, I need like 80s Louis Vuitton luggage. And she was able to source that for me. But there were also sites like Thrilling that's shut down now, unfortunately. But they were so helpful in being able to source like vintage pieces and like luxury vintage pieces like Mugler and just so many different pieces. And then we also do Poshmark and eBay and Mercari. I mean, we're everywhere. There were even times when I was, you know, in a Macy's because maybe a character got shot and I needed multiples of something that looked like maybe it could be from the 80s or could pass. Well, that's what we say, could pass for the 80s. So, yeah, I was literally everywhere shopping.
Didn't you tell me a story? I can't remember what it was, but you got a piece that was like really old and like it kind of fell apart.
Oh my gosh. So what did I get? It was Gucci sneakers for Meech on BMF. And literally, okay, so they were the hottest Gucci sneakers. I'm going to send you a picture of them if I can find the picture from when I bought them so you can put it in this. So the sneakers were fresh and I was so freaking excited that I found them. Finally got them, right? The scene is tonight. Like, he is dressed. He is in the shoes. They are about to shoot the scene. As they are shooting the scene, Meech, they hear over the walkie, because I'm the buyer, I'm not on set. So they hear over the walkie that Meech's shoes are disintegrating. Like, that they're falling apart. And the costume designer runs in and she's like, what's going on? And finds out, like, literally the shoe is disintegrating. So buying older shoes sometimes it doesn't work. I thank God for like Bally, brands like Bally, where I was able to like go in and find maybe an updated or a tweaked version of a sneaker from the 80s. But yeah, like that was not the move.
I can imagine just the guy just trying to shoot his scene and it's like his sneaker is falling apart. I mean,
literally, he's like, what's happening? I'm like, oh my gosh, this is the last thing we need.
That's so funny. What's the set that you would like love to work on? Like, if you had like a dream show or a dream like movie series that you would like love to work on?
One of the things that I really love to work on is the Macy's Day Parade. It is like, it is so cheesy when you think about it, because it's kids, it's but it's the holidays and it's like ushering it in. And so I like live events. And I really want to do the Super Bowl, but the Super Bowl for a good artist. Like, I literally was praying with my fingers crossed that I was going to connect somehow to the Rihanna situation. But yeah, even like a Super Bowl commercial, like I really want to tap into that, because that's like, you know, the world watches. It's a cool event.
Yeah, I don't know actually why people commented so negatively on the Rihanna performance, because I was like, she's amazing. She's pregnant and she's just like killing it. Also, the way she moves, I'm like, she's dancing. Like, she's just effortlessly cool. And the outfit that she got put on, this like huge Alaia coat, was just like on point. I loved her performance. I don't know why people were so negative.
It was so on point. I think like there's a cultural disconnect. Like, she's from, you know, Barbados. And so, you know, we wind the waist. Like, you know what I mean? It's a thing. That movement is culturally specific. And so I think that, you know, of course, like most things, is misunderstood. And she just kept trucking along. Like, I love it. I thought she looked amazing too. And I love her kid. Like, her kid is adorable.
So cute. I saw her shoot with ASAP and her kid for Vogue. I'm like, this is like, this kid has the coolest parents. What the fuck? Like, they look literally. Oh my God. I can't even imagine being born as the kid of Rihanna. Like, that's another level of.
Can you imagine? Like, we think that like Blue Ivy and North are fashionable, which they are, but like.
Yeah.
This baby,
yeah,
watch out.
But anyways, going back to costume design, what's next for you, Jasmine? Like, do you have any big plan? Do you have a big show that you're, you know, planning to work on?
Yeah, for right now I'm taking a break from shows, and I say that, but if the right one came along, I would jump on. But yeah, taking a break. I definitely feel a little bit of burnout from, you know, just working on such long periods of time of shows. And so really focusing on building my image strategy business and working with more brands and content creators who are looking to garner press in the fashion and, like, you know, in that space. Even working with some costume designers who, you know, want press representation and image and style strategy, and then building costumes and coffee and really just blowing it out of the water and talking to more and more costume designers and getting helping people understand like what it is and inspiring people to carry it on.
That's so awesome. Just so that people that listen know, Costumes and Coffee is the podcast of Jasmine. Go listen to it. It's just so refreshing and interesting. And she also has like the coolest guests. I'm like, how do you get those guests? They're so cool. What would be an advice that you would give to, you know, someone that wants to get in the industry that's not sure where to start, and that maybe is like kind of like your younger self, you know?
This is going to sound so shallow, but I'm going to start here. Listen to Costumes and Coffee podcast and really listen to each designer and how I ask a question every start of the show is how they got started in design. And then they move into their journey. And every time it's different, but there's also some things that are consistent. And oftentimes finding jobs in this business, finding consistent jobs isn't the easiest. So make sure you have a plethora of things on your plate, on your menu to offer up, you know, in terms of just making money would be my first. So do as much research, right? Include the podcast on that. And then once you are ready to jump in, once you know, feel like you've gotten enough and you need to know more, get in touch with somebody, reach out to somebody, reach out to me, reach out to any of the designers that have been on my show, reach out to the union to see how you can get closer to getting work. And just jump in. I jumped in. I have no regrets. I learned a lot. I bumped my head a lot, but you won't know until you do it. And so it's just jump in. Once you've done that research, once you've talked to somebody and has a couple conversations, few conversations, you feel comfortable, jump in.
Yeah, take the jump. Thank you so much, Jasmine, for your time today. This was an absolute pleasure.
Rami, this conversation has been absolutely amazing. Thank you for having me on your show. You're the fashion girl, so I'm like, yes, I'm excited to be on your show.
Thank you.